Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, coming to you following a 6-4 win. Phillies win 6-4 over the Giants on Tuesday night. And nice little bounce back win after losing the opening game of the series. This was a game that Jesus Luzardo was, I'll say, good, not great in. He goes 5 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, a couple of walks, 4 strikeouts, only goes 90 pitches. Bullpen overall, pretty good. You know, Orion Kerkering, 2/3 scoreless to finish out the 6th. Romano, scoreless 7th. He certainly has looked considerably better than how he began the season. Alvarado took 30 pitches to go through the 8th. We'll get back to him in just a second here. And Strom, in just 7 pitches, closed it out in the 9th. If you missed this one, it was a game where Realmuto started off the scoring in the 2nd inning. Marsh had a sac fly. That was actually might have been the highlight of the game for me, is the fact that Brandon Marsh did anything productive with the bat. He came up in a spot that entire inning. I was told small ball was dead, but it was Realmuto led off with a home run. Usually the rally killer, was not in this case. Kepler then doubled to right. Boehm grounded out to the 2nd baseman, moved Kepler over to 3rd, so moved him over, and Marsh hits him in with a little sack fly to put the Phillies up 2-0, which was certainly encouraging to see. A Casey Schmidt single in the 4th inning tied the game at 2. A Wilmer Flores ground out in the 6th, gave him the lead 3-2, but in the bottom of the 6th, Realmuto single tied it. A Boehm single. Oh my goodness, he actually did something productive also. Single put them up 4-3, and then ultimately some needed insurance from Bryce Harper on a home run in the bottom of the 7th. Stott scored, so a little bit of the Vegas connection there. That put him up 6-3. Alvarado in his troublesome inning allowed an extra run, but ultimately Phillies wrap this one up 6-4. That Harper home run also kind of one of the stories of the game, storylines of the game, is how bad the wind was in this one. I mean, it was just awful all the way around. That thing looked like a pop-up off his bat, and it found a way to carry on out. I know a lot of people in the early going of the season here think that the balls are juiced and think that there's some issues there. I don't think that was the case here. I think it was literally just the wind got a hold of it and pushed that thing on out of there. So Phillies lose 6, or Phillies win, I should say, get a bounce-back win 6-4. Much needed from something about Bob Melvin making managerial decisions at Citizens Bank Park. He just doesn't, I don't know what it is, but he left Justin Verlander out there 5 2/3, 8 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks, just 1 strikeout, 104 pitches. His ERA now 6.75 on the year. And that inning where Verlander was left in basically led to the Phillies taking the lead. Like, he went back out there for the sixth inning, got a fly out to Harper to lead off, but then a couple of singles from Schwarber and Castellanos. Realmuto tied the game with a single. Kepler hit a hard line out, and then Bohm singling to center. Like, Verlander should not have been allowed to stay in there for all of that. There's just no way. Bob Melvin continues to mess up in critical situations against the Phillies. So Phillies win, you know, that certainly helped them take the lead. And then the Harper two-run home run in later in the game in the seventh inning that was taking off. That was off of Hayden Birdsong. So that is how the Phillies got the win in this one. I thought really takeaways from this game, really, really encouraging stuff from the offense, like just overall, like really, really much different than what we've been seeing. The Philly, so Stott, you know, had a couple of hits in the leadoff spot, encouraging to see. The only guys who did not have hits in this game were Trey Turner and Brandon Marsh. And Turner's, you know, early to the season here hasn't been great, but at least he scatters his hits. Like, usually it's like one hit per game, though he's hitting 224 at the moment. Not great. Or hitting in the 220s, I should say, at the moment. And Marsh, he went 0-for-3, but he did have that productive at bat where he drove in a run. Bohm had a hit. Kepler had a couple of hits. Realmuto had a couple of hits. Castellanos had a hit. Schwarber had a hit. Harper had the home run. Stott had multiple hits. It was actually top to bottom, like, good offense. And even the guys who have been struggling, namely Bohm and Marsh, definitely looked a lot better, hit the ball a lot harder. And that was extremely, extremely encouraging to see from two guys who, frankly, half the time looked like they couldn't hit a beach ball at the moment. So that was really, really good to see. Another takeaway is that Rob Thomson clearly willing to use Matt Strom in closing situations, kind of making a point here that there is no one closer on this team. This is a closer by committee situation, remains a closer by committee situation, which is, I think a good thing. I don't think there is any one particular closer. I think maybe Romano eventually finds his way into that role. Again, he pitched a clean seventh in this game, only 10 pitches actually, and one of those included a strikeout. So he's continues to bring his ERA further and further down. He's actually got it down into the nines now. Quite impressive stuff from Jordan Romano here in the early going. But the fact that he's not committing to one closer, I know that frustrates a lot of people, and I know it frustrates a lot of people that he won't like commit to a singular leadoff hitter, which I'll get to in just a second here. But I think this is just modern day baseball. It is moving around your lineup, moving around which way you use your bullpen guys, in particular the bullpen guys. Like, that's just how it works in the year 2025. Unless there's one clear cut, you know, when Dombrowski was asked about it in the offseason, he was like, yeah, well, if Mariano Rivera was there, we'd, you know, have a set closer. That's kind of everyone's go-to example, unless you have the best closer in all of baseball. And even then, Mariano Rivera wouldn't be managed the same way. You mean to tell me that, in particular in a playoff game, if the top of the Dodgers lineup was coming up in last year's World Series and they were coming up in a one-run game in the eighth, that Mariano Rivera wouldn't be facing them? Like, no, it's just conventional logic, conventional wisdom tells you, you know, for years it was the ninth inning is the toughest outs. It's not how things are managed anymore. So that's kind of, you know, that is encouraging to see, I think, from Rob Thomson. I still don't like Stott in the leadoff spot. Guy just doesn't get on base enough. Like, he just doesn't walk enough. I wish they would honestly just go back to the Schwarber thing at this point. Like, if you're going to do the platoon, Turner and Schwarber thing, I would prefer they stick to that. It seems like Rob Thomson's so committed to this idea of having Schwarber protect Harper, which honestly just, you know, as I've mentioned before, kind of just tells you that he doesn't have a ton of faith in the remainder of this lineup at the moment. Kind of tells you that he knows he's not getting consistent run production from the remainder of this lineup right now. And I think that's extremely concerning, that's kind of where his mindset is at. It's not, a couple of things I've noticed. Number one, is that. Number two is, this is across baseball, not just the Phillies, but there has been, I don't know if it's an epidemic is the right word, but there has been a clear emphasis, and I'd be interested to hear what the logic behind it is, but a clear emphasis on bringing the infield in extremely early in games. The Giants did it in this game. The Phillies have brought the infield in really early in a number of games. Like, almost like you're playing every single run like it's the game-winning run, even early. And you never used to see that kind of stuff anymore. So I'm really curious if that is like an analytical push in the year 2025. And, you know, certainly Thompson managing with some urgency on the offensive side, but I've now seen multiple teams do it. I think the Nationals did it the opening weekend of the season, bringing the infield in early in games. And so I thought that was fascinating to see as well. So again, Phillies win this game 6-4 over the hands of the Giants. In early in the year, the first four-game series of the season. So kind of just looking ahead really quickly to Wednesday and Thursday's game. On Wednesday, it will be Aaron Nola, who could use a bounce-back start in the worst way as so far this season. He's not been his best, I'll say. He did have a quality start in the Dodgers series, but in St. Louis, he had a start where he went five innings, allowed two runs. There's not a ton of depth in that game. Opening series in Atlanta, he allowed five runs, probably coming off his best start of the year. So when I say bounce back start, I just need, really just need Aaron Nola to like prove, like silence the doubters, if you will, at the moment. And I'm specifically naming out Tom Kelly here, who, you know, thinks Aaron Nola should be the four starter. I'd like to combat that. I'd like to say that Aaron Nola will not be a four starter for any extended period of time in his career. Yes, he might look like the fourth starter right now on April 16th. That cannot continue. So it'll be him. And then on the Giants side, Robbie Ray. So you got a left-hander there. So look for a number of the righties in the Phillies lineup. Could be a night to give Marsh another day off after Thompson basically BS'd and said he'd have a couple days off and only gave him one. It could also be a day that maybe you see Max Kepler take off. Unsure what he'll exactly do in the lineup there. We've kind of seen a number of different variations there. Stott also, obviously another lefty. So interested to see maybe try to get Sosa in, maybe Rojas in. We'll see what he does. So that's coming up on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, and this is just a weird thing, it feels like every year the Phillies and Giants play getaway day at 4:05, not at 1:05. I don't know if that's the Giants thing where they don't want their games during the day or what it is. But that's coming up on Thursday, and that'll be Christopher Sanchez and going up against Jordan Hicks. So Phillies and Giants, again, two more games to go here. They really, just in the worst way, need a series win. Like the Phillies, they absolutely need to win a series to bounce back and show that, like, this is a team in which this is a team that means business, and then is better than they were in St. Louis, better than they were in Atlanta. They, you know, they're on the brink of falling to 500 if they can't bounce back here. And you got a little bit of an easier series this weekend against the Marlins. I know the Giants are currently hot at the moment, but then you're right back at it. You go to the Mets, you go to the Cubs before some more games against the Nationals at the end of the month. So a few other just kind of general team takeaways that I have at the moment, besides Stott shouldn't be hitting leadoff. They definitely need to get more out of Trey Turner. If he's going to be paired at the top of that lineup, and this is, again, a guy who has struggled more than he's been successful in a Phillies uniform, like, Trey's got to get going. He, just taking a quick look at his game log, he has, if you go back to April 8th against Atlanta, he, in a row, one hit, two hits, one hit, one hit, one hit, zero hits, one hit, zero hits, one hit, zero hits, which, again, is fine, but, like, his average is pretty steadily declined from that point on, because he's getting four or five at-bats a night and he's getting one hit. So it's like, all right, you're a 2 to 250 hitter at best. Not great. He hasn't really walked at all this season. So better need to see better bats of him out of him. Bryce Harper, his first home run at Citizens Bank Park this season. That was nice to see. Schwarber had a couple of hits, couple more. That guy walks like it's no one's business, which is really, really awesome. Just that, again, would love to have him in the leadoff spot. He's hitting cleanup for now. I get it. Castellanos has been good. Guy's got the highest batting average on the team right now. He's hitting 300. So that's encouraging to see. But then the bottom of the lineup, Realmuto, Kepler, Bohm. Kepler had a good game in this game. I've been critical of Kepler thus far this season. Kepler played well. He had a couple of hits, hit the ball hard, had a double. Kepler was legit in this game. So I'll give Kepler a one-day pass, so to speak. But in general, and like I said, Bohm and Marsh put good strokes on the ball, as Rob Thompson would say. But overall, they just need much more out of this offense consistently. This lineup feels extremely thin at the moment. The bullpen feels extremely thin at the moment. And just to hit on that point for a second, like coming into spring training, Jose Alvarado would not have been a guy that I said I have a ton of faith in him entering this season. I would have said that like whatever you get from him is a bonus. And the fact that he's already like one of your high leverage guys by default kind of scares me. I guess for now you could say he's in the Romano role because you expected more out of Romano, less out of Alvarado, and they kind of swapped. But this bullpen, as constructed right this second, certainly not sustainable over the course of 162. I mean, it is. I led my WIP show on Sunday saying, you know, do you think it's too early to call with this team? Or is it okay to have legitimate concern? And I'm absolutely in the camp of it's okay to have legitimate concern. I don't think there is any. I think even though it's been, 17 games, this is absolutely a good enough sample size to say there are real reasons to worry and struggle. And I know this is basically how they started the season a year ago. It took them a couple of weeks to really hit the ground running. I get it. But when you show signs of concern, like you can't just ignore it. Like I'm sitting here doing a show on April 16th, whatever it is. And that it's okay to admit like that's a real thing, a real concern that this team has legitimate flaws, has real life legitimate flaws that could persist over the long haul. Are they going to win games? Yes. Are they? They're still in second place in the National League East. Already a big series for those who count the magic number coming up later, next week. But this team right now, I don't know how you could look at it and not be concerned. They came into the season with a sense of urgency. If they get a few games below 500, if they get to a point in May or June where they're scuffling, like we know that John Middleton and, you know, Dave Dombrowski not unwilling to move on from a particular manager. If they think that Rob Thompson's message is running thin within the clubhouse, they will move on. And I'm not saying that this is all Thompson's fault, but at a certain point, the levers you pull do have to work. They do have to prove effective to some extent. And it felt like he had a ton of magic in 2022, a little bit less magic in 23, a little bit less magic in 24, and they're coming out of the ground flat, and it's like if it's just business as usual, no extra sense of it. And I know what he's trying to do with the lineup again, Stott leading off, which I disagree with. But if he's not giving you anything, I don't think there's any real expectation that he has the year, so to speak, even though they did give him a contract extension. So interesting to see how they manage that, but I think John Middleton knows that if they don't get the job done this year, that there's going to be that significant changes will be necessary. And where are you going to look to first other than Rob Thompson? So I think that is something really to monitor here as the season continues on. Again, even though I understand it's mid-April, but they don't have a ton of time to waste. Like the Braves aren't going to be, you know, bottom feeders for the duration of the season. The Mets have had, you know, struggles here in the early going, and the Phillies haven't really taken advantage of it standings wise. All games do count evenly in the course of 162. So I think it is important to realize that there needs to be a sense of urgency. You need to win these series early in the year. Even if they were at this point a season ago, you know, great, they might go on an unbelievable hot streak, even if they did last year. And then second half of the year, they might kind of coast and end the season the same way. So I think there's real reason for concern. I think there's real reason for wanting more. I think this lineup looks really thin at the moment. I think the bullpen looks really thin at the moment. And I think just in generally speaking, I think Thompson's done a fine job, not a great job. I don't think he's free of blame. I think that absolutely that could be somewhere they look to if there are struggles here. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. You, of course, can always check back here for the latest Phillies news, opinions, takes, you name it. It's myself. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4, where my name is Buzz. You can follow along, you know, my cohorts, or my co-hosts, I should say, Justin Morgenstein and Francisco Rojas. They pump out Phillies content on the daily as well, right here on the Phillies Today page. And hopefully, again, hopefully they can win a series at the very least, split a series against the Giants, need 2 or 3 against the Marlins, and then, you know, really get this season back on track. Because right now, they've been playing some sloppy baseball really since the Dodgers series for the better part of a week and a half. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll talk to you next time.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.